My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you this first Sunday in Advent. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold, your King is coming to you. Get ready. Here he comes. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, marking the start of the new church year. It's a time of preparation before Christmas, focusing our attention on the one who is coming to us at Christmas. I mean, Advent, after all, means coming or arrival, as in the arrival of a king. So today's gospel account of Jesus riding into Jerusalem causes us to behold our king who comes to us this Advent season riding on a donkey into Jerusalem to suffer and to die for the sins of the world, for yours and mine, and to rise again on Easter. Behold, your King is coming to you. The entire four-week season of Advent causes us to look both forward and backward. We look backward to Jesus' first coming when he came in humility, born of a virgin mother, born of a lowly infant lying in a manger, growing up in Nazareth as a carpenter's son, living out his ministry with no place to lay his head, coming as the suffering servant, and ending his life on a cross. Yet we also look forward to Jesus' second coming in glory, riding this time not on a donkey, but on clouds. Not with the announcement by humble and lowly people lining a dirty road, but with the blast of an archangel's trumpet. And not mounted to a cross, but sitting on his throne on the day of judgment in full resurrection power and glory. So this morning in our gospel lesson, we do a bit of both. Looking back and looking forward at Jesus appearing as our King in his kingdom. Behold, your King comes to you. It's still a little strange to hear a Palm Sunday gospel text on this Sunday, isn't it? It seems out of place, even to preachers. When we hear the reading, I immediately think of the start of Holy Week, not the start of Advent. Yet, there is a deep and profound point to be made here. The angel of the Lord made clear to Mary before Jesus' birth and to others after his birth that he was no ordinary baby. He was to be a king, the deliverer of his people, a savior of the nations. Yet the last time Jesus the king was riding into his city, it was in humility, riding as a beggar king on top of a borrowed donkey. But it happened. In order to fulfill what the prophet Zechariah had said as he looked forward to the Messiah king, riding to take his throne. And the people that gathered that day were probably longing for a revolt, if not a full-blown overthrow of the Roman government in Jerusalem. And the last thing they expected is what happened at the end of the week, when Jesus the King was enthroned on a cross and crucified. Not much of a revolution, was it? But it was. It was. It was the definitive and the only holy war that mattered. And Jesus, the Messiah King, fought it himself single-handedly. He came to die. He came to lay down his life. He is the King who dies for his subjects, who rescues them, who comes to them. You don't come to this King. You don't seek him out. He seeks you out, and he comes to you. And yes, he comes humbly and veiled, not the sort of king that you and I would expect, much less the kind of God or Savior that you and I would expect. And yet, Jesus still comes even now to his people in a similar way, weak and hidden, through the ordinary waters of baptism, through ordinary bread and wine in his Holy Supper, and through the mouth of a lowly pastor as he proclaims his word to you. He comes now as he did then, humbly and rejectable. You can turn your back on him. You can demand that his title of king be taken down from his cross. You can mock him, as still many do. You can spit on him and beat him and seem to get away with it. But don't you and I mistake humility for weakness. His power is perfected in what appears to be weak. His victory comes out of what appears to be defeat. His holy war is won not by killing the enemy, but by dying at the hands of the enemy. Contrast that with the wars of today and the kings of this world, with the holy wars waged in the name of God. There is no comparison. There is none like Jesus, nor is there a need to look for another. He's the crucified, risen, and reigning one. And this Savior King is enough for the entire world. But our ongoing problem is that we want it all now. We get impatient with the not yet. We want Christmas now instead of Advent. We want glory now instead of suffering. We want heaven now instead of this life. We want everything by sight instead of by faith. So we grow impatient. We're easily distracted. We begin to doubt and become discouraged when our God and King doesn't seem to perform the way that we think he should. And even in our waiting, those around us and in the world think we're either crazy or deluded, those of us who believe and are waiting for our coming King in his day of glory. Advent can seem that way to our modern world, waiting for the arrival of Jesus in his second coming, who never seems to show up, waiting, watching with childlike faith for someone whom we've never seen and who has made a promise to appear in glory one day. But my friends, remember, these are not the words and promises of an ordinary king or a good prophet or a very good teacher with good intentions. No, these are the words of the one who died and who rose from death. A bloody cross and an empty tomb. For sane, rational, and even skeptical people heard him and saw him and believed his every word. And every generation of Christians have sat waiting for the coming of the Lord in glory. And Advent comes year after year with the same promises and the same prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Advent, my friends, is a time of patient waiting and watching. Our reading from Paul's letter to the Romans gives us the image of an early morning, just before it's time to wake up, before the alarm goes off. The night is far gone, and the day is at hand. And you open one eye, and it's still dark, but there's a hint of light on the horizon. And you want to roll over and go back to sleep, but it's time to wake up and get ready. Your King is coming to you. Salvation is nearer now than when you first believed, nearer this year than at the start of Advent last year. So how are we to live as we watch and wait for that day to appear? What are you waiting for? Darkness or light? Condemnation or salvation? My dear friends, you are baptized. You've been clothed with Christ. You are children of the light and of the day. Drunkenness, immorality, quarreling, jealousy, those things aren't fitting for baptized children of the day. You are clothed with Jesus, His righteousness, His holiness. So wear it. Forget about the desires of the flesh, your sinful self. Don't give in to it. Don't indulge it. It's dead and it means death to you. But you are about life and light. So even as the world lives in darkness and practices the works of darkness, you and I have been called to live in the day, even while it's still night, knowing that the dawn has come with Jesus and the day is not far off. That's the spirit of the season that we call Advent. It's not about shopping and parties, although there will be that. I mean, after all, there are Christmas expectations to live up to. But Advent sets our eyes on the horizon, on the rising of the sun, on the coming of the King, on the mountain of the Lord. For behold, your King comes to you. My friends, Christ is drawing near. Christmas is drawing near. And we rejoice knowing that the Son of God did indeed take on human flesh to be our deliverer, your unrelenting Savior. Christ is drawing near to us today. Yes, even here in this service of word and sacrament. For just in a few minutes, Christ will give us His very body and blood. And that's why we sing the words of the Sanctus, the echo of the words of those who lined a dirty road as a lowly king rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yes, Jesus is drawing near today to forgive you of your sins, to give you his life and salvation. As Jesus is drawing near to bring an end to the misery and despair of this old world, so much misery, so much turmoil surround us, nation in crisis, evil on the march, sin, sickness, death and sadness on every side and inside us as well. Brothers and sisters, Christ is coming. And we don't know when that day will be, but we do know that he's coming. Christ has promised it. We have his word on it. And his word never fails to come to pass. So for now, we wait. And we anticipate his coming. And we prepare for it. And by faith, we cling on to his promises to you and to me. Advent brings a new beginning, and today is a new day in the Lord. And whatever detours or dead ends or wreckage that may lie in the past, we know that now, by God's grace, we are starting out afresh, starting out on a journey to Jerusalem. And Jesus, our only Lord and Savior, is leading us, you and I, on the way to our new heavenly home. Behold, your King is coming to you to gather you into his eternal kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus. In your name we wait, we hope, and we pray. Amen.